a special letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a friend of his, a very close, dear young minister named Timothy. This first letter has actually been quite an eye-opener to me. I've appreciated the continuity of the letter. I've enjoyed kind of following along with Paul's train of thought as he's writing this entire epistle, which is another word for letter, to Timothy. The advice that he has given Timothy on what needs to happen in order to have a healthy church in a city that was known for its paganism, Ephesus, has been interesting. And Paul just knows. He just knows what it takes to have a healthy church, and he really wants Timothy to be able to succeed so that the church at Ephesus can be as healthy as possible. Now, the task is not going to be easy. In fact, the task is going to take quite a bit of confrontation because he's going to be dealing with false doctrine, false teachers who are spreading this false doctrine. And it looks like these false teachers are people who are not outside of the church, but many of them might even be inside of the church. Now, as Paul is talking to Timothy, he is helping him realize that he can't do this task alone. And so he encourages Timothy to begin with prayer and to begin with worship and to make sure that he is following an orderly worship, to gather around him and surround himself with godly male and female church leaders. And then he is also very realistic because he says, and guess what? Satan has already deceived a bunch of people. All right, Satan has already convinced them of truths that are not true. He has corrupted, he has poisoned people's lives, he has deceived them, he has lied to people both inside and outside of the church. They will be focused on things that do not have eternal significance, and gossip will be one of their main detractions from the church's mission. So Paul had to remind Timothy that in order to deal with these dangerous false doctrines and false teachers, he needed to keep himself pure. He needed to keep himself above reproach. And the leaders needed to also be above reproach. And they needed to serve well. And the reason for that was not so that people out in the community would say, you're doing a good job, but because his salvation and the salvation of all who hear the gospel message is at stake. So the issue or the point of the church is that we need to be conscious of what we're doing because salvation is at hand. And so for the first four chapters of the book of 1 Timothy, all of the focus seems to be on standing on the truth and staying pure personally and praying diligently and worshiping completely and not letting our own tongue or our own speech or our own conversation disqualify us, disqualify our testimony, ruin the work of our witness. And Paul is very clear, this is a noble task. Noble for the preacher, Timothy, noble for the leaders, elders, deacons, and all of the leadership women. It's a noble task. But evil seeps into the church. Hypocritical teachers are spewing false doctrine. Paul says many have even abandoned the faith and they need to be reminded of God's great power because this is a noble task. Difficult, but worth it. And then Paul sticks in chapter 5. And as I read through chapter 5, my first thought was, I wonder what this is about. So I read the little heading, you know, if you have a Bible, and oftentimes paragraphs have a little heading. The little heading above mine says, advice about widows, elders, and slaves. And I thought, well, this doesn't seem to fit. And I know that the Bible is not just a bunch of random thoughts that these people had that they just kind of stuck in and they sort of gathered them all up, you know, sort of like sweeping up all of the dust and dirt and grime in your house, scooping it up in a pan and putting it in the trash. This is a logically thought out letter. There's got to be a reason why this is here. And so I puzzled. I read through the chapter a couple of different times, and I read through the chapters before again, and I kept asking myself, why is this advice necessary? Why is it necessary for Paul to point out certain things. So I'd like to read this passage with you. I'm going to read the whole chapter because I think it is important for us to understand the context. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn and follow along in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Because I do think that this is an important message. You see, up until now, this young minister, Timothy, he has been expending an awful lot of energy dealing with the false doctrines, the false teachers, praying for the kings and the governments, encouraging those who are outside of the gospel, who have been deceived by Satan. He's really got a work in front of him. And then Paul puts in this passage, 1 Timothy chapter 5, starting with verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need, but if a widow who has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list. For when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus, they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house, and not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to say. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her family, she should help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "Do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain." And the worker deserves his wages. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. Those who sin are to be rebuked publicly so that the others may take warning. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illness. The sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not cannot be hidden. And so as I read through this chapter several times, I realized that what Paul is talking about here is that in the face of all kinds of serious things and noble work that needed to be done in the church, you can't neglect the church. I mean, think about all that Paul is talking about, talking to Timothy about doing. He is supposed to, deal with the false doctrines and the false teachers and those who have been deceived and those who have ignored the faith, those who have destroyed the faith, if you will, in many cases. The church is at serious risk. from people that are outside that are trying to impress and people that are inside that are trying to destroy. But Paul is saying, don't neglect the church. Ministry is not just evangelism. Ministry includes everyone. Everyone. Not only does Timothy need to minister to everyone, but the church needs to minister to everyone. And so it's an interesting thing that Paul would do. And he points out three specific groups. And again, there has to be a reason why he points out these three specific groups. And I'll just kind of propose a couple of ideas about them. The first group that he says is we're to take a look at the age groups. And he talks about two specific age groups, the older people and the younger people. Again, why? Well, unfortunately, our tendency is to marginalize both of those groups. We have a tendency in this world to marginalize those who are older. Older people don't necessarily understand all of the latest technology. But trust me, older people do know what TikTok is. It's that sound that their mantle clock makes. That's what it is. And of course, there's a lot of elementary age kids that are going, "You are so old. You are so old." Older people may not be up to date on the latest technology. Older people may be suspicious of untried methods. They may believe that the old ways are the best ways. They may struggle with their loss of energy. They used to have all the energy, now we just don't. They may know that when they look at the newspaper, which they are so frustrated with because it used to be delivered, they used to know the newspaper boy, now they have to get the thing online. But the first thing that they do is they look at that obituary section. That wasn't what people did when they were younger. We know our doctor could easily be our granddaughter. And you know, when you go looking for that pair of reading glasses, it's already on a chain around your neck and you have another pair up on your head. When the hard work is needed in the church, it is easy to take a look at these wise saints and say, "Yeah, you just don't have it anymore. So we're going to just kind of marginalize you. We're not going to include you, involve you, or let you participate." And yet, this wise group of older people, Paul urges, don't marginalize them, but treat them as fathers and as mothers. Interesting choice of words. Father and mother. You know, there's a saying that is used a lot. Blood is thicker than water, and we're usually, generally, talking about our blood relatives. Why in the world would Paul use those terms to talk about the way that we treat older people in the church? Maybe we need to be a little more cautious of the way that we treat older people in the church. But to have a healthy church, not only do we need to treat the older people as our fathers and mothers in the faith, we also need to be able to treat the young men and young women who may also feel ignored as people who are, even though they are untested and generally kind of impetuous, usually very impressionable and spontaneous, generally they're not very cautious. You know, usually they are ready, shoot, aim kind of people. But they are just as important. And so the apostle Paul is telling Timothy, you need to be able to minister to the younger people as your brothers and sisters. And I think it is interesting that when he talks about the young women, because remember, Timothy is young. And so he says, treat the young women as sisters. And then he includes that little thing, with absolute purity. In other words, Timothy, watch yourself. Watch yourself. If you're going to be in ministry, you need to be able to understand that there are going to be pressures, that there are going to be temptations. You have to minister to those younger women and stay pure. Sometimes easier said than done. But that's just the first group of people. That only takes up the first two verses.
Check, 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 test. Okay, we're back on. So now Paul decides to give advice for a second group of people. Not only is it important for him to minister to the older people and the younger people, but now there's another group of people, and they are called the widows. And I think, again, that this is really an interesting section. It takes up a good portion of 1 Timothy chapter 5, many verses from verse 3 to verse 16. And from this context, you will quickly see that these women are not just widows because their husband has died, but they are widows who are in a circumstance where they have no family to care for them. They're all by themselves. And you have to remember, in that culture, in that day and age, if you were a widow and you didn't have a husband and you didn't have any children, you were probably put down way low on the priority list. And so apparently there must have been some widows in the church at Ephesus who were all by themselves. They didn't have sons, they didn't have daughters, they didn't have grandchildren who were available to even take care of them. And so Paul tells Timothy, give proper recognition to those who are really in need. Do you know how many times just in those verses the word really in need appears? Three. And there's a list of these widows. And Paul even specifically talks about who should not be on that list and who should be on that list. You see, it is, again, a real easy thing to do to just kind of marginalize these people. You know, maybe, I get it, you know, they're widows and things, but, you know, somebody will help them out. Well, if they don't have any family to help them out, that's the job of the church. And that's what Paul is trying to say. That's the job of the church, is to honor these people who are really dependent upon the church. They have no children, and without a physical family, they need to be included in the spiritual family in a way that no other person is. And then verse 8 kind of gives us an interesting statement. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Wow. In our culture, that seems to be kind of the norm. Yeah, let them take care of themselves. But not according to the scripture. Ministry needs to be happening to everyone. And if you have people that are widows in your own family, it is a biblical mandate that you care for them. Will it be easy? No. But that is what God has asked of us. And then after going through all of that, and it's a significant passage, and there's lots of little details that we could take a look at, but it would take too much time. Paul gives advice about one more group in verses 17 through 25. And he just starts off with the words, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well. The elders. These are worthy of a double honor. And he talks about that just a little bit. Paul's advice about ministering to everyone, to me, is, this is where it kind of gets a little bit, I don't want to call it self-serving, but uncomfortable. Because what Paul is telling Timothy to do is, you got to minister to yourself. You got to take care of your leaders. And the church needs to take care of the leaders, especially those who preach and teach. So guess, Paul, Timothy, guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about you. You see, we call these people pastors or ministers, and Paul is telling Timothy that he needs to be ministered to. Why does Paul include this group? Well, because likely the health of the minister is at risk. You know? The health of the minister, the health of the leader, the health of the elder who is preaching and teaching is at risk. No one thinks that the preacher needs any kind of spiritual care. Because after all, he's supposed to be there for everybody else. He's supposed to have all the answers. He's not supposed to get depressed. He's not supposed to get down. He's not supposed to have doubts. He's not supposed to make mistakes. Why? Because he's the minister, or they are the elders. The elders are just supposed to be giants of the faith. We're not supposed to burn out. We're not supposed to have needs. We're supposed to be the answer people. The congregation needs us. We don't need them, right? Wrong. You see, too very often what happens in churches is people become so incredibly selfish. I need to be ministered to. And that's why I selected those elders and that minister, is so that you would do what I want and what I need. I had somebody tell me one time that in order for a minister to become a minister in a congregation, he needs to have 80% of the congregation to vote him in. But in order for a minister to be relieved of his duties at a church, that can be done by three people. It's kind of wrong, isn't it? But that's generally the way it works. You get one or two or three, and the rest of the people say, well, you know, he is kind of the hired guy, so if we just want to get rid of him, we will. You see, I think that the Apostle Paul put this little section in because Timothy wouldn't do it himself if he wasn't mandated to do it. I've been there. I've been the young guy, the young minister, the one that people said, boy, I'm so glad that you're here, because now this church is going to really explode because we got a young guy with a young family and a very talented wife. You know, too often, I know that this is the way it works. It's the way it worked here. You guys hired Judy. I just came along. I mean, I know that that's how it went. But too very often, the Apostle Paul says that this kind of accusation against leaders in the church that is unfounded, it becomes a poison. In fact, it's a sin. So there is a process. And I think that the reason that this process is put into place is because instead of ministering to the elders or the leaders or the pastor, we have a tendency to have an axe to grind, or we're looking at somebody, you know, like a scapegoat. We go around the church hoping to find others that are going to agree with our particular issue. This is kind of a cancer or a poison in the church. So who does this ministering to the leadership? Who ministers to the minister? Who ministers to the elders? You guys do. Because ministry is not just what I'm called to do. Ministry is what everybody is called to do. That's why we have all of those one another verses in Scripture. Love one another. Pray for one another. Care for one another. Show kindness toward one another. I'm one another. All of the elders need to have your support and your encouragement. We need to have the same hugs that you're willing to give your grandchildren. Because remember, we're family. When I think about that whole idea of the church as a family, oftentimes I think, wow, if the church family was loved the same way that people love their spouse or their children or their grandchildren, so many things would be different. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, oh, I will do anything for those grandchildren. They can do no wrong. I will love them unconditionally. That's why scammers constantly call people and say, guess what? Your grandchild is in Mexico and needs to have some money to get back. Because you'll do anything for those grandchildren. You love them. And if we're supposed to love the family of God that same way, wow. Imagine how much different it would be. I think I can see why the Apostle Paul felt that this chapter was vital to the church and to the church's health. Because it is vital signs if we are ministering to one another, if we are encouraging one another, if we are helping one another grow, if we are loving on one another. While bringing the gospel to the lost world is important, Timothy, don't forget to minister to each other. We must never forget the spiritual nurture of the most vulnerable in the church, the old, the young, the widows, and the leaders. We wouldn't necessarily include them in the most vulnerable in the church, but too often they are. You see, we are a spiritual family. We are the family of God. Every age, every ability, every person, we belong to one another more deeply because the blood that holds us together is eternal blood. If blood is thicker than water, then guess what? The blood that you share as family members is water. The blood that you share that is Jesus' blood is eternal. That is what is thicker than anything else. Sometimes we need to repent, get our priorities back in, because God has drawn us into a family. Let's love one another as family. Healthy churches love and minister to one another. To fail at this is what will destroy the church. And I think Paul knew that. If the church at Ephesus was ever going to survive and succeed, you needed to be able to trust and love on one another. I think it's a great chapter, and I think it's a necessary chapter, not only for Timothy's situation, but for every situation, because we are in this together.